A day or so after surrendering his army at Appomattox, General Robert E. Lee received a call from an old friend. General George G. Meade, head of the Union Army of the Potomac, came through the lines to say hello. At first, Lee did not recognize his longtime acquaintance. "What are you doing with all that gray in your beard?" Lee asked. Meade shot back, "You have to answer for most of it." George Meade was the last commander of the North's Premier Army. He had the longest tenure, almost 2 years, of any general who led that force. Yet in the climactic 1864-65 fighting, he was overshadowed by General-in-Chief U.S. Grant, who traveled with the Army of the Potomac and made all of the tactical decisions. For that reason, Meade was an all-but-ignored figure at Appomattox. Another reason Meade's reputation is not higher came from not living long enough. Only 7 years after the Civil War, he died of pneumonia. One of our best-known Army installations now bears his name. He could well be called the old reliable of Union forces. Nevertheless, he deserves more attention and more esteem than he has received to date. Born in Spain on New Year's Eve, 1815, Meade was the son of an American merchant. The lad graduated from West Point and devoted his life to being a professional soldier. In 1861, he became a brigadier general. Meade was twice wounded in the 1862 action outside Richmond, and at Fredericksburg he led the attack that momentarily smashed the center of Stonewall Jackson's line. Meade became the new Army commander only 3 days before Gettysburg, the most famous battle in American history. He went without a night's sleep for a week, as he gave everything he had in repulsing Lee's forces in Pennsylvania. When Meade heard the news that Pickett's charge had been repulsed, he made as if to swing his hat in exultation, thought better of it, and quietly said, "Thank God." Throughout his career, Meade was deeply and genuinely religious, content to do his duty in the little niche on earth assigned to him. Like so many figures of that day, he worried about his health and was never robust. George Meade lacked the ability to inspire troops. Tall, thin, bespectacled, he was never a charismatic leader. He reminded soldiers of a clergyman, family physician, or college professor. He stood nearly 6 feet tall but was slightly stooped. His sad eyes were sunken full and large. An habitual frown caused bagginess beneath the eyes. The hair he did not lose in the course of the war became streaked with gray. While Meade never drew cheers on the order of McClellan or Hooker, he always kept his command in good shape, and he had an eye for detail. Most remembered about the man, however, was an awful, awesome temper. He could explode at anything. He could explode at nothing. This explains why, down in the ranks, Billy Yanks customarily called him a damn goggle-eyed old snapping turtle. Still, the highly organized and highly professional Meade had the respect, if not the affection, of his soldiers. He was a wholly admirable man, void of any undermining ambition that cursed the likes of such Union generals as George McClellan, John Pope, and Joseph Hooker. If Meade had not been so grouchy and irritable, cursed by that terrible temper over which he had absolutely no control, he would stand much taller in history. But he loved his wife, worshipped his God, and did his duty. What else can one ask of mortal man?